B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we'll continue with your Patriots calls as well, but let's just reset some Celtics thoughts before we get back to you. What's the key tonight, Maz, for the Celtics?
Attack. Get into the paint. Do the same thing you did in the last game. Get into the paint. Don't settle for just threes on the outside. Go into the paint and attack. If you do that, you got a shot.
Yeah, and keep Marcus Smart on Goran Dragic. That obviously worked defensively for them on Saturday night to disrupt Miami's flow on the offense. So just more of what you saw Saturday night and less bitching, too. How about that?
Okay, so we'll see if they get pushed earlier in the ballgame. They got pushed at the very, very end on Saturday night, and it
was too little too late.
I mean, it wasn't really enough to say that it was a adversity there for him because
you only felt a little bit of tightness.
There
just
was only,
a little, but it was there.
5 points with a minute left. I think they had the ball. That's as close as it got, I think. So I don't think they were really pushed on Saturday. Let's see if they're pushed tonight and how they respond, because I'm not sure they're out of the woods chemistry-wise, which we'll get back to in a second. But the two key stats I thought from that game on Saturday night was the drive, them driving, them getting into the lane, and not necessarily shooting in there, although they did a lot because they scored 60 points in the paint, which is the most they've had this postseason, I think. It's 18 points higher than their playoff average, 60 points in the paint. But it's just the fact that they were driving, according to Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston. In game two, they had only 42 drives. In game three on Saturday night, they had 58. So I think that just opens everything up, even if you're still shooting threes. If it starts in the paint and then kicks back out, I think you're far better off than just twirling it around the perimeter. And they did that. The other little nerdy stat was that the Celtics typically average 3.31 seconds per touch. Boy, I really pity the poor nerd who's got to track that stat with the stopwatch. The 3.31 seconds per touch, that's what they averaged this postseason, which is the second highest total in the NBA among playoff teams. So it's a bad number. It means the ball's sticking. You're playing one-on-one. But on Saturday night, Boston's touch time plummeted to 2.89 seconds per touch. So the ball moved better, and they got into the paint. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly right. And to me, it's really the in the paint part that I want more, because some of that is going to require guys to dribble in there, right? So there is going to be a, but I think that facilitates the other thing. Once you get into a zone and you attack the middle of it, what happens? It collapses. The zone closes in. And now all of a sudden, what can you do? Now you can kick out to the wing and you start firing the ball around. Or if the zone doesn't collapse, maybe you get an easy layup in there, which they got last game. So that's where I start. And then just one other thing, because I said this to you, Adebayo has been a big problem for them in this series. They don't have a matchup answer for Adebayo. They don't, unless you want to, in theory, like put Tatum on him. Okay, but I don't want to do that. So, because Tatum, I think, has the length and the athleticism to hang with Adebayo. Like, that's at least reasonably close. But what I would do, let him score. Give him the twos. Miami's one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. And, in fact, I thought I saw a stat. I'll see if I can find it. I think they averaged fewer points in the paint than any team in the league this year. So they don't want to score in there. They want to score from out on the line. That's what they want to do. So you know what? Give them the twos. Let Adebayo get 30. Who gives a rat's ass? Because at the end of the day, you're better off giving him twos than you are giving threes to Dragic or Crowder, and Duncan Robinson and Hero and all those guys out there. Take away the threes. Let Adebayo go to town there in the middle. He had his best game of the series in the last game, at least stat-wise. 27 points, 16 rebounds, and Miami lost. So let Adebayo have his way. Who cares? He's not going to beat you.
Who's a more talented team, Maz? I'm going to try it again. Who's a more talented team?
It's close. It's
unbelievable. Just so painful. When I say that the Celtics, and I don't just say this, this is the fact, this is the stat, the Celtics have led in over 111 minutes of the 149 minutes of this series. So again, the three games plus a five-minute overtime period, the 149 minutes of this series, the Celtics have led in over 111 minutes of it. Does that tell you that they're the more talented team or the better team or have been in control? And that they just can't close for other reasons, toughness, composure, coaching, something like that?
See, I don't look at it the way you look at it.
How do you look at it?
I look at it as, okay, so they've had a lead for the majority of the game, and some of those leads have been sizable, but anytime Miami has had to turn it up, what happens? The Celtics crack. And so
is that a matter of talent or
right,
something
that's
else?
Like that's an intangible.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think Kemba Walker's as good as you do. I won't talk about Miami because I know how upset that makes
you. What about Tatum, though? I mean, the tightness that you saw him play with at the end of games one and two, like, that's not because of talent. It's just a mental thing. He's got to get over that hurdle.
How about the ball sticking in the Patriots, the Celtics offense in those first two games?
Yeah, so I think some of that's an experience thing. I think some of that is a lack of chemistry thing, like, you know, or maybe there is some infighting there in terms of, I acknowledge all those things are real. I never said they didn't.
So they're more talented then.
Not necessarily, because I don't think Kemba's as good as you think he is.
So then how they led for 75% of the series?
Because they're good.
But not
they
better.
They are good, but I also, not necessarily. No, I told you that I think this thing's a pretty close to a dead heat. And I think we've gotten to see some of the players on Miami a little more closely now. We recognize that.
Oh, definitely. I get the dead heat because of Miami's intangibles. Their toughness, their focus.
Oh, they're definitely tougher and more focused.
Their composure, maybe even better coach. Like, that's what evens it up.
Riley looming over everything, you know?
Typically, that doesn't even it up in the NBA, right? Typically, it's just the talent. But I think Miami checks those other boxes. But that, you know, that stat about leading for 111 minutes of the 149 minutes leads to the email of the day.
It's the Moncast email of the day!
Felga, I really hate you, and I think Mez is a boob.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E-Cast.com. Michael writes in, Felger's opening thought that the Celtics leading in more minutes this series sounds as beneficial as Dan Duquette saying more days in first place for the Red Sox years ago. Thanks for the show, boys, says Michael.
He's right.
I was going to say, did Maz send that to you during a break?
Is it the same thing? Is it really the same thing?
I don't think the leading stat in the NBA means what you think it does. I mean, the one you're rattling off.
If it were 52 to 48%, I would agree. 75% of the time, they've controlled all three of these games. They've controlled all three of the games. They blew two of them.
Up until the end.
But they were control of all three of the games.
Yeah, but...
And if you're less talented, that is really, really hard to do.
Okay, would you acknowledge, though, that there are times when Miami cranks it up and the Celtics just can't handle it?
They can't, but it's not a talent thing. It's not like all of a sudden the talent overwhelms them. It's the effort, tenacity, scheming, whatever. Toughness, focus, that's a thing that overwhelms them.
Okay, and experience maybe, a factor, right? That sort of adds into that. You make it sound, though, like this thing should be a sweep.
I think the Celtics should win five or six games if it's just on talent.
Not in five.
I said five.
The talent gap isn't as big as you're saying it is. Again, Kemba Walker's not as good as everyone here thinks he is. People in this time, and they were trying to shove Robert Williams down my throat in the early part of the playoffs, who has now vanished from the landscape of this series, doesn't even play. So where are all those jackasses now? All those people who told me Robert Williams was going to be the secret weapon, including Scal,
Final Celtics thought, and it's one that fascinates me the most. It's more of a soap opera gossipy kind of thing, but hey, that's what we do. The whole locker room fight and, you know, the result of that, is that why they won game three? I would hate to think so, and I don't think so. I think they played better and different and more focused in game three because they had to, just like the Denver Nuggets did last night. And as far as I know, the Nuggets weren't throwing chairs at each other after game two. It's just that game, that spot, your backs are against the wall. So that's typically when you focus in, and that's what I think happened to the Celtics. But I still do think that locker room fight shows some real issues on the team that hopefully in time they outgrow and mature from. Again, that's the good news. The bad news, or the bad way to look at it, would be that they never outgrow it, that that's just what they are, and they're just not a good mix. That Jaylen Brown thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, Jason Tatum thinks he's the best player in the room, and Marcus Smart can't control his emotions and wants to be on even footing with both of those guys, even though he doesn't belong there. And it's just never going to work. That's possible, you understand. It's also possible they all sort of grow up and figure it out. But I don't believe they grew up and figured it out in a 48-hour stretch. Yeah, I think those things are still there.
Yeah, you don't fix that in one night. you know, they were never really challenged on the floor on Saturday night. So I think, you know, you're going to get a better fight from Miami for game four, and we'll see it. Tonight's the test. I mean, I think Miami missed like 15 straight three attempts or whatever at one point on Saturday night. Like, I don't know, take a two, maybe make it more of a game. Like, they played themselves out of that game too. So the Celtics really never had any kind of push or any kind of adversity they had to face. So we're not going to know. Like, you can't watch a game like Saturday night and say, oh, yeah, no, I think that they fixed all their problems.
So I go back and I ask. So Marcus Smart was really the guy that ignited that whole fight and started the whole thing. And I ask you, is he an impediment? And is that thing an impediment? Or was it the catalyst for what happened in Game 3?
Impediment.
I agree.
For this series, impediment.
I mean, I think on the floor, he's a catalyst. So let me just, I'm fully in favor, you know, hashtag winning plays and all that stuff. And I think, you know, on the floor, he's a catalyst. The off-the-floor stuff, the locker room blow-up, is just him not knowing his place and being out of line and getting in the way and mucking up one of their biggest problems, which is whose team is it and who sets the tone and who's the guy. They don't have it. They don't know who it is, and they're all sort of fighting, you know, that fight. And I think Marcus Smart gets in the way of that.
I don't think there's any question about that. Look, I've seen series change, and again, you know, in an instant, but they're usually with plays on the floor. So, like, we talked about this quickly last week, but Kevin McHale clotheslining, you know, Kurt Rambis, and that, and I'm going back way back now, 35 years ago.
Remember it well.
Okay, but it was a significant and memorable play. Guy gets clotheslined, and all of a sudden, the fast-running, speedy Showtime Lakers weren't so aggressive about going to the hoop the rest of the way.
And, oh, by the way, kids, that's back in the day. It was just two shots, and then they all went back down to the other end of the floor. No one looked at the replay. No one got ejected. It was just two shots.
So it can happen. Right? Yeah.
That was right?
Yes, yes.
And there was a fight. They all came together on the baseline and started scrapping. Two shots, and they kept playing.
Yes, I mean, so it was accepted as part of the game then. You could get physical and muck it up and change it a little bit, and that's what they did. But that was Celtics against the Lakers. That wasn't Kevin McHale clotheslining Larry Bird all the way to the basket.
Good point.
Right? It wasn't a team infighting. The finger pointing always scares me. Always. Because when that starts, now you're fighting amongst yourselves. Forget it. You can't beat the other team. If all your crap is internal, you're screwed. It's going to take enough energy to beat Jimmy Butler in this series, for crying out loud.
All right, the role of Marcus Smart and that fight, your thoughts on it right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The funny thing about that was, I think we were, you know, I don't know how many days we've been here, but it's in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
And we average, what are we, like 24, 25 years old on average. We're all on the same floor. We've had 30 practices and 22 games. We have not been able to leave this thing, right? So my first thought was when we got here, yeah, how are we going to get through 3 weeks of practice without a fight? Like, because everybody's going to be so stir crazy. And so, you know, it's just such a unique environment. So it surprised me that it took that long to get a little bit emotional. So I actually am not surprised at all that us and several other teams, right, have had moments like that. And I'm sure everyone's had moments like that. You know, ours just happened to be in a locker room that's really like this open partition with media standing right next to it. So it doesn't like it was part of the experience. It's not like a huge deal. Every team I've been on in 13 years has had, you know, has been brought to a lot to heavy emotions, and this experience probably would trigger that more than any other that I've ever been through. So it's like I said, like when we were practicing, we were putting together our practice plans for July. I was like, how can we make sure that we compete, get in the shape we need to get into, but also can walk back up to our floor and not want to, you know, keep the competitiveness going. right? And so I thought it was, it's probably long overdue, but just part of the experience.
Whitewashing that locker room thing. It's the bubble. It was bound to happen. That's what's going on with this team? Or are you, do you have a bunch of young guys who all think they're the man for one reason or the other, and they can't figure out, you know, what's what and who's who? Because I think that that fight would have happened in Miami, Boston, the Boston Garden, the Mecca in Milwaukee, or anywhere. That would have happened anywhere, whether it was the apocalypse or not, fans in the stands or not, the bubble, reporters outside. Those guys have not figured out yet the hierarchy on that team.
Yeah, the bubble's not to blame. And proof of that is that these kind of skirmishes had happened last year. Oh, it's Kyrie. It wasn't all Kyrie Irving. That's what we're learning.
It's the same thing.
To me, this is about the basketball. It was about the way they play on the floor and how they coexist with one another on the floor.
Yeah, I'm the star. You're not the star. I'm the star. No, I should have the minutes. I should have the ball. I should have the ball more than you. No, F you. Like, that's all it is.
I mean, I don't doubt that the other stuff is true, but an experienced winning team still plays right on the floor. I mean, we start with the Patriots here, for crying out loud. With the dysfunction they had, they'd still get in the games and generally do the right thing.
Yes.
Right? So, to me, this was a basketball issue and egos. I think egos are in the middle of it.
Okay. So, your thoughts on this, game four, all of it. We still have your Patriots thoughts and football thoughts as well. Back to some of you been waiting very patiently. I want to thank you for hanging on. Leading with Terry in Vermont. Terry, are you still there? Oh, I'm sorry. That's not who I meant. Matt in Springfield is the guy that's been waiting forever. Matt, are you still there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for hanging on.
No problem. So, I agree with you guys that fighting in the locker room isn't the best way to get things done. But I think what it accomplished is it got Marcus Smart to play under control, at least in terms of his shot selection. If you look at the game the other night, he only took two threes the entire game, which we're talking about somebody who sometimes goes, you know, 2 for 16 with 14 threes being taken. I think him and Brown challenged each other about, you know, Smart's bad shot selection. So Brown took it upon himself to go to the hole every single time. I think he said to Smart, you need to stop taking bad shots. And Smart said, well, what are you going to do? You're hiding from the ball at the end of the game. And I think they correlated off of each other and kind of, you know, played aggressively because of it.
Matt, thanks again for hanging on. Good call.
Well, I'll tell you what, as he says it, I'm looking at it here right now. The Celtics took 26 threes in the game. Very reasonable number, right?
For them especially, okay. Yeah.
15 of them were Tatum and Walker. I mean, isn't that pretty much how it should be?
So, like, I do wonder about this. Like, Smart got into Brown's face, or Smart, no, apparently what we heard is that Smart went after Tatum and Brown stepped in for Tatum, but it was Marcus Smart trying to get the attention of his team. Is it possible that the end result of the whole thing is that the team got the attention of Marcus Smart, settled down?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because yes, and I wouldn't exclude Brown either, because the caller makes a good point.
Brown played by far his best game.
Brown only took two threes. Smart only took two. Right, so maybe it was, okay, I'll do it if you do it. Like, you follow me?
Yeah.
So if you're going to say, oh, I'm playing hero ball, how many did you do? You took 30 shots three games ago.
Well, so, you know, and this was part of Gasper's thing. You know, Gasper was tough on Smart last week, called him a sore loser front runner, and said he responded like a baby after they lost game 6 to Toronto, almost starting a fight, and then he flips out after game 2 of this series. He says, leaders don't behave like that after a tough loss. He says he should get called out by the organization and his teammates for it. Do you wonder if that's what happened?
Maybe. Oh, I think there was some of that. Yeah, again, I would say that you know, again, I think there's a lot of guys that can benefit from that mentality. So, Mike, they talk about efficiency, okay? Like, because their offense has been inefficient. Smart scored 20 points in the last game, 10 shots. He got that's 10.
Efficient.
He got 10 at the line. Okay, so again, you go in and you get fouled. That doesn't count as a field goal attempt. You get free throws out of it. Fine. Jaylen Brown, he didn't need 30 shots this game. He got 26 points on 17 shots. 11 for 17. And he shot a lot better because why? Because he wasn't taking stupid threes. So, you know, I've always thought the NBA has gotten a little 2-3 happy. What's wrong with going in and getting a 2 if they're going to give it to you?
Terry in Vermont, your thoughts on Marcus Smart.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to... Thugger, you keep knocking him for the fact that he calls a foul, but who else can go down there in the paint and try to get that foul? Make or miss the shot, actually, he's trying to get that foul if anybody's within 3 feet of him. Who else can get that? clearly not Kemba.
Who else can do?
Jason Tatum still don't get him. Brown don't get him.
No, Smart does. It's just annoying to watch, you got to admit. Like, I'm not here to watch you fake out the ref. But he did. He wasted no time. He wasted no time on Saturday. Tell me, folks, if you listen to the show, you know I'm big on this. When that first, I thought it was the first basket of the game. I meant to look at it. I thought it was their first effing trip down the floor. He goes into the lane. No one touches him, but he goes, aye. And the back, you know, bends. He does that, aye. And immediately he's at the line. I'm like, here we go. So he is. He's great at drawing fouls. You got to admit that. It's really painful to watch.
Something to watch out for in this game, too, is if they don't get some of those calls early, do they get frustrated?
Well, you watch Jimmy Butler, because he can do it, too. And Crowder. Oh, God. For being such big, strong, burly guys, they hit the deck pretty easily, don't they? But it's the whole league now, right? Elias and Worcester on Marcus Smart. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't think he's been an impediment on the court. I don't think he's been an impediment in the locker room. I think it was really on the court, and I think it came to a head in the locker room. I think Smart probably brought it up, and, you know, that's really what a good teammate does. He's willing to let himself get shot down by his own teammates. But the shots he was taking, you know, I was WTFing the screen. So, you know, I think, you know, they looked a lot better that next game.
So maybe, maybe he got an attitude. He started the thing, but he had an attitude adjustment like everybody else. So good for him. Paul in Amherst, your thoughts on this? Paul in Amherst, you can call us back. You obviously know the number. How about Matt in New Hampshire? He's been waiting on the Patriots. Hi, Matt.
All right, so I know Phil is probably going to be yelling at me about this, but for next year, just a hypothetical for you guys. Say Newton finishes out the season, and he keeps playing like he did in Seattle. What do you guys think about a two-year $50 million contracts where the first year is fully guaranteed and it's a player option for the second year? I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
There's no way they would ever give the player that kind of control. Are you kidding me? Never, ever, ever. No shot. I don't even know if it's legal in the NFL, now that I think about it. I didn't even think about option, player
to
option
do a one
years.
And one. Yeah.
Good question.
It's a baseball thing. I don't even know they do it in any sport.
I mean, it probably exists, but nobody does it because the players have no juice.
I just want to entertain this quickly. The franchise number for quarterbacks next year, and again, this is going to be based on the new cap, which the revenues and COVID, you don't know. But let's just say it's flat. Wasn't the franchise number this year 30-something million? What did Dak Prescott?
It was like 34, something like that, 33.75 or something.
So if Cam Newton has a really good year, you are not going to get him for anything less than $34 million a year. That's his baseline, because if he just refuses all your contract offers, you have to franchise him, and that's the number. So that's the starting point. So to him to sign for anything more than a year, you've got to give him that for at least a couple of years. So we're talking 3 years, $100 million. We're talking 2 years, $70 million. Are you willing to do that?
No.
No, not a guy that age and with that injury history.
But I would also say, again, ask me what...
Do you think they'd be willing to do that?
No.
Okay.
No, and my guess is they would do exactly what they did this past year, assuming Stidham isn't ready, which, again, it looks like we're headed that way. They'd take the best available veteran on the market.
Could you see them slapping the tag on him and actually paying him that 1 year on the tag?
I doubt it.
Yes, I can see that one.
I doubt it, though.
I can see that one because then you know what they do?
Trade him?
No. They say, well, yeah, it's 34 this year, which is more than we want to pay, but we paid him one last year. So we got 2 years out of him for less than $40 million. When if he's going to hit some incentives, whatever. It's going to end up being under $40 million for the 2 years. We're way ahead of the game. We won on the contract again. They can still play that game.
So they're dipping back into the draft to get yet another quarterback. Do you like that plan?
They're kicking it down the road. I like it better than signing him to a long-term extension and really marrying yourself to him. I'm not ready to do that.
Do you like it better than signing someone else for less money and letting him go?
I like that, too. I like Stidham being the next guy, too. I'm still okay with that. Whatever Bill decides, honestly. Like, I mean, I know I hate to play that game.
Bill, you trust?
Well, no, but if he believes in the quarterback, then I'm willing to roll with that.
Because you trust Bill as
a
coach.
I trust his judgment on the quarterback thing. I do. And I don't fully trust Cam Newton yet, as good as it's looked.
No, with good reason. I think that one's just too early. And he's played well so far. I'd be surprised if they wrote the check for $35 million, and I'm rounding up.
But for 1 year, I can almost see it.
When have they done that, though, with that number?
Never. I mean, they just did it for the effing guard.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they just paid him 16
or whatever.
They just paid a real chunk of money for a freaking guard. I mean, how do you say it without swearing? Here's Murray's update, and then we're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Celtics getting themselves back into the series against the Heat with a victory on Saturday. Boston said its response is proof that there is more than enough resolve within this team to turn the entire series around and win it. So, Richard, what do you think was the difference in Game 3?
I'm going to say this. It was Gordon Hayward. Right? Just having him on the court. Now, he didn't have this amazing game. It wasn't over the top. But having a guy that grew up in the Brad Stevens system, you don't call a lot of isolation plays. So he will get the ball. He will cut. He will move. He's also 6'8", so he makes defensive plays. He can rebound in traffic. There's a lot of things that he can do. But Gordon Hayward is such an unselfish player. And then I don't want to say that he is the focal point, but he averaged 17 points a game. That's nothing to scoff about. Everyone's talking about what the Lakers are missing with Avery Bradley. Well, this man averaged even more. And they don't have two studs like LeBron and AD. So having Gordon Hayward on the court just, I felt like, opened things up for them and gave them a jolt of energy.
Richard Jefferson, ESPN, said Gordon Hayward was the key. Was it the key the other night, Mess?
I say no. I mean, it was a factor because I think that with Hayward on the floor, they're different to defend them when they have Tice on the floor. And I'm keeping it to the key four players that we already know about, plus Hayward instead of Tice. Okay, if you have those five guys on the floor, it becomes a little more difficult for Miami to defend because there's another guy in the perimeter as opposed to Tice. So did it help? Sure. The fact that Hayward makes good decisions, did it help? Sure. But the big thing is they went to the hoop. They went to the hoop. They went into the middle of the zone. They went absolutely right into the heart of the zone and attacked it, and they need to do the same thing again.
Here's Eddie in the car with a thought on the Celtics. Hi, Eddie.
Yeah, hey, guys, thanks. Just, I mean, personally, I don't think the fight is going to be that big of a deal in the end. I mean, it was really, to me, it just came down to the way they blew those first two games in the last, what, 5-6 minutes of each. They just, for some reason, they just went into the, you know, I'm going to dribble out the clock and get no good shot off, and they kept doing it over and over. So I kind of agree. It's almost natural that something like this would happen. Now, these things could escalate, but I don't know. I don't see it. I think.
Well, let me tell you something, Eddie. I look at it in reverse. In other words, one of the reasons they're not maximizing their potential on the floor is because they have these issues, and that fight happens because of the issues. It's not happening because
that's
of the fight.
Fair. No, I think that's fair. One thing I do think is an issue is on the court, there is no, not to use this cliche, but there is no alpha dog from a talent standpoint, right? I mean, Tatum maybe, but it's not like there's a LeBron or, you know, somebody at that level where it's clearly his team. Right. There's three or four
great
guys.
And that's the issue. Let me just stop
you
there.
And I think Jason Tatum, I think, thinks he's that. And at times he looks like he's there. But clearly with his inability to finish, he's not.
See, I actually think that Tatum is the most talented, but he's the youngest. Smart is the oldest, but he's the least talented.
Yeah, and Smart's complicit because he's there. He's been there so long and before those guys that he considers himself the elder statesman.
Correct.
Even though he's only a few years older than these guys.
So I was saying earlier, like when we were talking about Golden State, Curry was first, Thompson was second, Draymond came 2 years later.
So, yeah.
So the order was the opposite.
Yep.
The most talented was first. So it's clear there whose team it was.
By the way, Celtics fans, I have a Celtics giveaway for you coming up. I'm going to tease it a little bit. We're going to do it a little bit before we're off the air today at 6. So stay glued to your radio until 6 if you want something for free from the Celtics. It's obviously not tickets, but, maybe the next best thing. Okay, so stay tuned for that. Tom and Quincy's been waiting patiently on a football item. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I apologize for going totally off topic, but I have nothing to offer with the NBA talk. I was zip. The Bruins pool was as willing I was willing to go. That's all I can do. But is anyone else kind of freaked out about this news about the charges with the Tyrod Taylor thing? Like, I understand, like, misdiagnosis from team doctors and stuff, second, third opinions about it. when you have just like busted ribs and you're like, dude, juice me up, and he collapses your lungs. I mean, is anyone else taking notice to that? Like, are the guys on the Chargers like, is like Keenan Allen like, well, I'm not going to try to play with something because the hell are they going to do to me? Bad knee. What the hell?
Just stab me in the heart. Right, exactly. The guy stabbed his lung.
The lungs.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
That's a big organ. I think you would know where that one is within the first couple of days of medical school.
Like that's, so, I mean, that's scary.
In case you just joined us, Tyrod Taylor was tapped out of the game on Sunday, just before the game, and no one knew what the hell was going on. It turns out he was taking a painkilling injection for a cracked rib, and they punctured his lung.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
You want to hear something amazing? That cut right there? In case you don't know who that is, folks, that's me. 19 years ago today.
Is that right?
No, well, kidding. I think it was 19 years ago tomorrow. The Drew Bledsoe-Mo Lewis game, September 23rd, 2001.
No kidding.
I just looked it up. 19 years ago. So I think that was a conference call the next day, maybe 2 days later. So it was either the very next day or
it was the next day.
It was the next day.
That's what my timestamp says.
So 19 years ago tomorrow, I'm covering the Patriots for the Herald, and Drew Bledsoe's just almost died with a collapsed lung, and could he play the next week? Who knows what the F was going through my head? And I had the bright idea. That was Bill Belichick. That was Belichick's conference call, who were, again, he's not really forthcoming on injury. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't realize it at the time. It was early on. I had the bright idea to ask him this question.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
I mean, maybe I was asking because he went back into the game. They put him back into the game. And maybe I was trying to, who knows where that one came from.
I wish I had the full cut still, but I think Mannix made a smart-ass comment.
Oh, Kevin
and
Mannix.
Bobby was back there cackling.
Kevin Mannix came right on the line and said, yeah, he stopped at the Texaco station and had it pumped right back up. 19 years ago tomorrow. I'll tell you how long we've been at this.
It's scary, 19
right? 19 years ago.
Further proof that the Patriots were letting air out of things even 20 years ago.
That's an all-timer.
I'll tell you what, though, with that Chargers doctor story.
Oh, my goodness.
How about if you had a groin injury? Let him put it.
I'm good, Doc. No, I'm fine. We're just going to have to take rest over the – I'm fine.
Isn't that where that Dr. Chow was, too? That quack who's, like, all over Twitter, and he fancies himself, like, the doctor when anytime anyone gets injured in the NFL.
Maybe.
I think they have a bad history of doctors screwing up with that franchise.
Seriously, though, how about that? Like Keenan Allen. I got a groin strain. Well, no, we can shoot that.
I'm going with rest.
No, sorry. I'm good. No, thanks.
Crying. Stabbed him right in the lung.
Keep that needle away from me.
Lewis in Boston, the Celtics and Marcus Smart. Go ahead, Lewis.
Hey, what's up, guys? I mean, I don't completely disagree with you guys, but I think that, Marcus Smart is the longest tenured Celtics we have right now. And he's been coming out the bench most of his career. And he's never complained about it. He actually, every time he comes out, he plays his hardest. He's always one of the hardest players in the court. Every time he steps out there, I think that, he has gotten better. And every time he comes off the bench, maybe this is something that, is finally coming up.
But you're saying that's okay for him to lose his temper and, like, throw a fit after a loss?
I mean, doesn't David Ortiz do that all the time? How many things he's broken in the dugout and we just don't say nothing about it? I mean, people lose their temper in a competitive match, and that's what happens. And Smart is a very competitive person. So, I mean, I just don't think that's who he is. He doesn't want to be Tatum or Jaylen. I just think he's trying to get the best out of these guys, and he's just doing it the wrong way.
Okay. Well, doing it you sort of defended that way. I don't know. Thanks for the call, Lewis. This is what I know. I don't know. I mean, they played better in Game 3, but I don't think it's why. I don't think Brown and Tatum respond to it or listen to it or want to hear it from him. That, I think, is sort of clear.
Well, see, so what I would say to the caller is, well, that's sort of the point. Marcus Smart thinks he's David Ortiz. Like, this is sort of...
Right, exactly.
This is sort of
you're
the issue.
Right.
David Ortiz can get away with
it. He's one David of Ortiz.
You're Kevin Millars.
Right. He's one of the most prolific postseason players in baseball history, for crying out loud. So the other guys would look at him and say, oh, he has the right to do that. He can beat the crap out of that phone all he wants. He has the right. When it's Marcus Smart, they look at him and say, who the hell are you?
John in the truck has a thought on Cam Newton. Hi, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good show. I guess we know where Jimmy Hoffinger's ended up, huh, over the medical staff in L.A. one thing I'm really impressed with Newton, how he's been playing. It looks great. Everyone's, talking, it's all, sunshine and rainbows over there. One thing, you know, from the game last weekend that just drove me nuts, and I can't shake it. When they called that, he ran in for the touchdown, but they called it back because he didn't get in. And, you know, the whistle in the play dead, and, you know, Cam, come back over here, Cam. Yeah. And he's just running over to the screen to do a Superman. And it's like, hey, hello, you know, we're playing football over here. And he's too caught up with trying to get his own, you know, Superman hype thing coming out. And I know it's a small thing or whatever, but, you know, is it some sort of foreshadowing? I mean, is his focus in the right place? You know, he seemed like he was way too caught up trying to, you know, like I said, do a Superman thing in front of the camera.
John, I see him doing both now, okay? So it's not like through 2 weeks, I don't see him not focusing on football or not including his teammates. I mean, he waved his teammates over there. Yeah. It was like he was just, that was a solo act. He wanted to make sure all his teammates, and I guess they have this thing now, it's like a photo booth. Like, don't they have these?
Yeah, I don't know was in Seattle. I'd never seen that.
No, Murray, I think they have it in every stadium now.
Oh, do they really?
Which is like, come shake your groin here. It's like, come wave your ass right here. This is where we want you to celebrate so you get a good camera angle of it. I think every stadium now has this, like, fun zone camera area where they want you to go celebrate.
Yeah, big screen. You can see yourself.
Right?
I know. I saw it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Come shake your ass here and celebrate here.
I think we should get one of those.
So he did wave over all his teammates. I think he's played well. I think he's done everything that he, you know, he's done well on the field, off the field. I'm not going to get on him for it. But I really don't love the dance. You know, I'm just not a dancer. I'm not into that stuff.
I'll tell you, I mean, as long as he buys in, I don't care. I don't. But when you got to go back to the huddle and run another play, that's a horrible look.
So let's wait to see a little bit on that. The one I think I really think Bill doesn't want and no one would want, and it would be, I'd say you can't do that, is if it's a taunt. You know, which I thought the Superman thing back in the day was. I think Newton got a little taunty with the Superman and even the DAP thing. I thought it was sort of it didn't start a whole fight once where he kept doing it in the opponent's face.
He did the Superman thing once when they played the Jets when Jamal Adams were there, and Adams came over and like ripped his arm away as he was trying to do like the fake tear open of the jersey. So there was a little beef there. I know that went on with.
I forgot about the whole DAP thing.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That was a good one.
Yeah, but I thought
kids were doing that.
Didn't he start a fight with that once or something?
I don't remember.
If it gets to that level, if he's just, you know, you just like, go ahead, shake your ass in front of the camera. Like, if whatever. But if it reaches that level where you're giving the opponent like some extra juice, I think that's where it crosses the line. I haven't seen that yet.
The shake your ass zone.
There it is, yeah. the final word and a Celtics giveaway, something good from the Celtics for free, coming away next.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
I'll do the giveaway in another couple of minutes. Murray, go ahead first.
All right. Well, I feel like we all know that guy, the guy who's, I used to be into him before they got big, man.
Oh, I know. I hated the way I said it, but I had to say it.
Yeah. Metallica used to be good. Then they had the Black Album, and they sold out, man. Well, it turns out, yeah, Felger's that guy with the Miami Heat.
Anthony and Beford. I'm going to assume that's Bedford. Go ahead, Anthony.
Dean.
Listen, I don't know what we're worried about here. The fact of the matter is this. I know they are plain simple. These guys are not better than us. They never were better than us, and they're not now. The fact of the matter is, if Brad comes out and makes the adjustments like I think he did, Hayward with 4 days off of rest, and we're ready to go tonight, and it's going to be a green storm, and we smoke them.
Oh, it's a green storm, Maz. Why are you laughing at Anthony and Beford?
Well, first of all, because he said it was over in six, I started chuckling, and then I realized I know him. He cuts my hair.
That's your barber?
And my kids, yeah.
You have a barber?
Well, sort of. Yeah, I mean.
So
yeah.
You've already heard that take before.
Oh, yeah, no. He texted it to me this morning. Yeah, he sent me pictures of like a green hurricane. Oh,
he doesn't charge you more than $4, Maz. Your thing can't take more than 30 seconds.
Oh, no, it's a buzz. $20. Yeah, $20. I'm in and out of this.
I agree with him, though, that the Celtics have more talent.
No, so that part, I agree with you that it's other things. I think Miami's more talented than you think, and I think Kemba Walker's not.
I think Miami is every bit as good as you do. I told you about Miami. I've been chirping about Miami for months.
Okay, but again, we disagree on Kemba Walker.
We agree on the Celtics. But I believe the Celtics are better. I mean, the Heat are better than you do. I was on the Heat first.
Well, good for you.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. It's why you keep saying you don't think the Heat are that good. I've been on that for months.
Okay, well,
how many times do I have to say it?
Sound like the guy that was into a band before they got big.
Oh, my God. Well, it's just so annoying.
Yeah, you don't know. I had it first. I bought the T-shirt.
I think the Celtics are more talented than you do. That we disagree on. We don't disagree on the Heat.
Specifically Walker.
Fine.
I fell in love with the Heat when I was real high in February in Miami.
Thank you. How many times do I have to say it?
Yeah, I had it first. I had the T-shirt.
I did have it first.
And the bumper sticker.
I had it first.
You're just riding on my coat.
Watch out for the Heat. Watch out for the Heat. Watch out for the Heat. They're a tough little team. Watch out for that team. They're better than you all think. The Heat are going to beat the Bucks. I've been saying it for effing weeks, months.
Very good.
It's so true, though. I had them beating Milwaukee. You had the Celtics losing to Milwaukee. I had the Bucks losing to the Heat. I was so into the Heat. You can't claim Heat before me, man.
Yeah, first to fan the flames.
I just want to remind our listeners that Game 4 of the Celtics and Mike Felger's Miami Heat.
Thank you.
Place tonight, right here on the Sports Hub.
But first, caller 10. Oh, do you have anything else?
No. We'll do the giveaway and then we'll play Sunshine Day.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985. That's the number, 931-0985. We'll score a Boston Celtics Eastern Conference Finals prize pack, courtesy of the Pro Shop. Seas fans, it's time to bleed green. Cheer on the team with fresh new gear from the Pro Shop. Shop online now at bostonproshop.com. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line gets a free bag of gear. Okay, so that's what it's going to be. What?
No, I'm just eager to hear this. You know,
all right, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out. Get me some of those rays.
Woo!
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day.
Yeah!
Everybody's laughing.
Woo-hoo!
Sunshine day.
Yeah!
Everybody seems so happy today.
Volleyball.
It's a sunshine day.
It was kind of a barbershop quartet.
I tried to take the high parts there, Murray. I heard you were going low, so I tried to blend it in there a little bit.
That was pretty good.
I do background.
Yeah, meanwhile, Mass with the color.
And then Perillo got berated for an hour.
Yeah, oh, that was great.
No, I am. I'm like the Supremes.
Yeah.
Just work the background.
Mass, what's coming up on the baseball reporters?
Well, Nick Pivetta made his major league debut last night and won. Along with Tanner Houck, who has won his two outings, which led me to do a little bit math. Good God. Led me to do a little bit of math, which brought me to an alarming, alarming conclusion. And I'll tell you what that is at the start of the program.
The conclusion comes right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We will be discussing your Boston Celtics and my Miami Heat. They tip it shortly after 8:30 here tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're back tomorrow to discuss. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.